Looking for a new pharmacy? You can count on Albertsons and Safeway for all of your pharmacy needs. Our friendly and trusted pharmacists make it very easy to transfer your prescription. And when you do, you'll receive a $25 gift card. We offer low-cost prescription options for you and your family. We accept most insurance plans. And you'll even earn 10% off on your groceries with any immunizations. Let us be your pharmacy. Albertsons and Safeway. It's just better.
Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show tonight. I'm so excited about the possibilities. I've been talking to Jane and he's in either Singapore or Australia and we're having some difficulty getting him connected. But if he gets connected, we'll bring him on right off the top. The topic of the show tonight is mathematics of the soul and the art of number. And our guest tonight is Jane 108. You know, when you talk about anything having to do with the soul, you're talking about divinity itself. When we think about our human experience, we're a soul having a human experience. And this next chapter of our human story, there's going to be people that come along, and I love bringing people like that on the show, who come along and challenge everything they've been taught, who look with fresh eyes, if you will, at the nature of nature. And when you do that, when you can deprogram yourself, when you can unwind yourself, when you can shake off all the stigmas of the past, there's a really viable, lucid universe that's willing and able to respond to you in new and different ways. And the cool thing about that is as we shift into this next chapter of our human story, all the paradigms of the past, all the mythology of the past is going to be replaced by people doing things that were perhaps never thought of before, never thought possible before. And when you look at this human experience, you're sitting here listening to the show, you've got a body, you've got a ego, you got a brain, you got a heart, and most of that's provided to you without any management requirements, if you will, from your ego. The day you were born, your body knew what to do. There's an innate intelligence to provide you this vehicle, this human body vehicle, so you, the soul, yes, I'm talking to your soul now, this gigantic part of you, your soul can wear any paradigm, any story, any archetype. If you think about your past lives, you can see that you've gone through many genres, you've gone through many archetypes, you've gone through many genders and life experiences. And so when you think about you as being a soul personified in this human body, you gotta let go of the idea that you're just a human being, and you gotta look with fresh eyes about what's possible. And our guest tonight, Jane, is one of those people that bring that kind of content. It looks like he's connected. And I think without further ado, let's see if we have a good connection. Welcome to the show, Jane.
How are you? It's good to talk to you.
I'm delighted. I hear your voice on the air. Woohoo!
Right, yes. Yes, we just got in.
Mm. Well, beautiful. You've been a teacher and author of 30 fascinating books, some And you teach math magics to kids. Can you give us a background of what you feel your life path is about?
Yes, well, I've been in the Byron Bay Shire. It's an area like Boulder or in San Francisco in Australia, where there's a big alternative group of awakening people, and there's a huge homeschooling movement that's happening in Australia at the moment. And also where I teach in Asia, there's a lot of people disenchanted with the current education system. So I decided to set up a curriculum that was more visually based content, because when you muscle test people, say if you just say the word mathematics and you stick your arm out and someone pushes against your arm when you do muscle testing, you'll see that the arm gets weakened just from the very word math or mathematics. So I believe mathematics is a star language. So I started working a lot with children, like mainly with 5-year-olds, and then it went to 12-year-olds and teenagers. So I work with children of all ages. So my job in a nutshell is to make mathematics fun again, visual, animated. And that's where the geometry comes in, because when we teach mathematics like at school, which is based on rote learning, we're just in the left brain, the male logical analytical brain. But if we want to teach mathematics from the female right cortex, which is highly visual, it's got to do with holograms, music, creativity. When we turn numbers into pictures, then children get switched on. They totally understand this language. So that's what I do. It's like a new Steinerism. We have schools here called Steiner schools. I think you call them Waldorf schools there. So I've created like a new Steinerism. So my new style of teaching is that we don't just teach mathematics, we teach maths as pictures.
Nice.
And that
nice.
Creates the whole brain learning. So that's my show. And because it's original content, what I've put together, I've traveled all around the world with it. So I go on invitation to, if someone in Brazil said, hey, look, we're starting off a new school here, would you like to come for the couple of weeks? They'd fly me over, house me, and I just teach the teachers and work with the children. Yes, I'm doing a lot of teacher training at the moment. So I've got lots of amazing worksheets. And if 10 years ago someone said to me, you're just going to be doing worksheets for the rest of your life, I wouldn't believe it, because it sounds like a very boring topic. But these worksheets are all based on, you know, prime number crosses, the true value of pi, Fibonacci sequences and wheels of 60 and 24 time codes. So we're getting the children to discover the essential elements of this ancient mathematics, which I suspect it got lost, you know, like how Buddhism started 2,500 years ago and it got lost and revived. Well, the mathematics that we're teaching today got distorted. A lot of the maths we're teaching at school is all wrong. I believe by accessing this ancient knowledge, we're changing the consciousness of humanity, because we're bringing back in the truth. And as you know, mathematics doesn't lie. It's a eternal language. It's a fixed language of pattern recognition. So that's where I'm at the moment.
Well, very nice.
Well, very nice.
You referenced the Vedic era. Do you see that kind of alignment with the truth?
Did you
in
say
the
Vedic,
Vedic math?
Vedic. Oh, the Vedic. Yes, yeah, so
yeah.
I did the first. Yes, yeah, so my friend in London, my friend Kenneth Williams, started the first school in Skirmishdale in London, and he wrote volumes of literature on doing mathematics like speed maths, where it's mental calculation, no writing down, doing mathematics in 1 second. So he wrote volumes on it, but he never did a DVD. So I studied Vedic maths. I was doing it in my own way, and I did the first DVD on that topic. And so then I took it to India. So I went to India to teach thousands of children, but they're not even learning their own system in India. So in India, they're still learning British maths. Like, they know all their times table, like what's 13 times 16. They can do it in 1 second, but they're doing it like robots. They don't. Whereas when you learn Vedic maths, you have to learn special formulas called sutras, which teach you how to do it in the right brain at the speed of light. Yeah, so I did two trips to India, taught thousands of children, and I believe it's the way to go. So, but if you think of a five-pointed star like five arms of knowledge, Vedic math is only one arm, whereas the Vedic mathematicians in India, they think Vedic math is supreme and it's everything, but they need to study what we call sacred geometry. You need to study, they'll give you the five other arms. So Vedic math, which is mental calculation, is important, but the other foundation is called magic squares. We have to learn these harmonic codes, which has got to do with ancient Chinese Tibetan cosmology. It's all based on magic squares where everything adds up to the same. And that's kind of Atlantean math that got lost. Then we have to learn three-dimensional geometry, which is the five platonic solids, which is like the Chinese five elements as geometries. That's important. Then we've got the Fibonacci sequence, which is my passion. I'm looking at the golden ratio, which is in nature, cosmos. And I would say that there's a fifth element, which is what I'm teaching, is like the head of the pentacle. The most important subject would be, I call it the art of number, which is turning sequences like the Fibonacci sequence into a spiral, or taking the prime numbers and creating what we call like a Templar cross, or taking the binary code. You know, when you double numbers 2, 4, 8, 16, that's right. That's an infinite doubling code. We can take a linear sequence of numbers called doubling sequence, but we keep subtracting 9 from all the numbers. It's called digital compression. The digital compression means we keep taking away 999, and what we end up, so let's take a number, say 24. So what's the remainder? If you keep taking 9 from 24, you get, say, 15, and take away another 9, you get 6. But instead of taking away 999, we could have just said, well, 24 is the sum of the digits. 24 is 2 and 4. We add the sum, 2 plus 4 is 6. So we just add the digits, and we've got a 6. Rather than taking away 9. So that thing called digital reduction or compression is one of the Vedic sutras. They call it digit sums. They say, why not add the sums of the digits? It gives you more information. But Western math doesn't have a clue as to what digital reduction is. We study it at university in something called, say, modulus math. It's a high level of advanced math called clock mathematics, which is basically isolating the remainders. So what underpins all of creation is the number 9. Number 9 is a galactic number. So when you apply number 9, say, to the doubling sequence, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, you end up with a sequence of 6 digits that repeat. So the sequence would go 1, 2, 4, 8, 7, 5, 1, 2, 4, 8, 7, 5. And you could spend the rest of your life just studying sequence of 6 numbers, because it means it's highly encoded. It's got the knowledge of the universe in that cyclic stuff. So I believe what art of number means to me is that when we teach children digital reduction, it's called Stargate mathematics. All the secrets of the universe that I know of are based when we take away the number 9 from these intelligent sequences. So you could take away the number 9 from, say, the Fibonacci sequence, the numbers of nature, which is 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, an infinite additive sequence, which just seems random. But when we take away the number 9 from all those digits, a 24 pattern appears. And that 24, that wheel of 24, is one of the most guarded secrets in the universe. And the secret that's embedded in the numbers of nature, the Fibonacci sequence, is called the 108 code. So there's a billion people on the planet called the Hindus. They worship a frequency called 108, 108. So there's a billion people who mindlessly put that, you know, when we do namaste, we put our hands together and we say, thank you, namaste.
Right.
Well, if you were just to say 108, because there's 108 beads in the prayer, in their malas, and 108 stitches in a baseball and 108 steps in Tai Chi, you could write an encyclopedia on 108, which I have. So there's a billion people on the planet who they don't even know why they revere the number 108. Just like we revere Jesus or Buddha, the Hindus revere this frequency called 108, but they don't know why. So I believe because of the art of number, because I understood the power of continued subtraction of number nine, all the mysteries open up for a teenager, for any young child can see where the pattern, where does 108 come from. So that's where I'm at the moment. I'm turning these numbers into art form. So as you know, the Fibonacci sequence generates a spiral. And that spiral is the key to all the modern technology. The spiral can go infinitely out into the universe or infinitely compresses down into the atom. So the fourth dimensional analog of the ram's horn, which is the five spiral, would be the torus, which is, you know, the shape of our blood cells. And yeah, so it's a journey of understanding. It's a journey of what I would call pattern recognition. So we have to teach children how to recognize the mathematical derivative of all these sacred symbols that we're working with. And then they get excited and they want to learn more mathematics when you show them the patterns in nature. They have a tangible relationship. So right now I've just been invited to teach in Europe with autistic children. So I believe now that this sacred geometry is not just for adults and children. It works out that children that have special needs totally understand sacred geometry in a genius way. They're absolutely brilliant minds. So I actually have a daughter that has special needs. She's 29 and she's challenged by understanding mathematics at school. She would come home from school and cry because she couldn't comprehend what the school was trying to teach her. So I developed this system of mandalas and geometry so that a child who has been challenged by this mathematical language could totally resonate to it. So that's where you start pulling out all your pine cones and you start counting the counter-rotating fields and you see, oh, there's eight spirals going one way and look, there's 13 going the other way. What's the relationship of 8 to 13? It's 1.618. And you get the children involved by studying what I call the mathematics of flowers, which is the feminine subject, or the mathematics of crystals. They're the same kind of... So the mathematics of crystals is what we call the Platonic solids, and the mathematics of flowers is the subject on the Fibonacci numbers. So that's my subject. That's been my passion, is basically how to make maths exciting again.
Well, there seems to be a fundamental... blueprint, if you will, of creation, and it's got that underpinnings of elegance to it because nature is so graceful. When you look at these number sequences and you think about how they relate to the underpinnings of how the universe is created, do you see associations that match up?
Can you just say that again? I was just daydreaming then. I went on a tangent. When you talked about the mathematical elegance, my mind just went to another place. The key word for the sacred geometry, like the golden, the word divine comes from the word divina. Divina means of the vine. So of the vine means when you look at the grapevine, where the branches come out, these branching algorithms obey a mathematical relationship of 8 to 13. So it's interesting that the word divine comes from a mathematical algorithm or an appreciation of what nature fundamentally does, how nature bifurcates and splits, and it's not random. There's an intelligent or coherent order to that. So that didn't answer your question, if you could really ask that.
Well, I mean, so much of our Western upbringing has us build things through just strong arm, get a bulldozer, level it, build what you want. And in order to be compatible with life itself, with nature itself, there's a simple elegance to nature, or it wouldn't be in harmony with itself. When you look at these numbers, do you see that same kind of elegance?
Yeah, I mean, I see number in everything. The problem is once you start studying sacred geometry, you see the pentagon everywhere, the hexagon. So I've just been to Singapore for the last 2 years, and no one knew anything about what fractal means. Fractal means is like when the inside is the same as the outside. So now you've got all these students walking around Singapore going, oh my God, there's a hexagon within the hexagon. It must be fractal. And so they're speaking this whole new language. And it's really exciting to hear people who knew nothing about the mathematical language of nature. And then they just see it everywhere. If they go to shops or they look at a building or they look at anything, they start, like you look at your iPhone, or you start seeing that, oh, the iPhone is in a relationship of 1:2. It's a double square. You start seeing a sense of proportion. They translated a lot of the work. Pythagoras never wrote anything. He lived at the time of Buddha, but they believe that when, you know, in the Christian Bible, we say in the beginning was the word. The original Greek translation for word was called the logos, what they called the logos. And we don't believe that it means the word. We believe that, well, according to the research I've done, the word logos, which is like the creator, means proportion. So everything, our eye senses a certain proportion. There's because we're built, our whole body is built in this proportion called the phi ratio, based on the Fibonacci sequence, which is fundamentally the ratio of 8:13, which means it's a little bit off center. So if I was to take a photo of you, if I'm looking at you and I'm going to take a photo of you, I'll put your face in the middle, but as soon as I just go a fraction to the left, I go off center, it makes the composition work. So they always say there's this rule of thirds. You just shift a little bit off center and you've got the ideal composition. So most people work this out naturally anyway, because there's a ideal proportion or aesthetic, that word elegance that you said, it's a natural, simple composition. It's we're wired out, where our DNA is built in this ratio of 8:13. So the inside is the same as the outside. Yeah.
Well, if you look at nature, there's a seed, and within the seed is the idea of a plant. And then you think of the idea of creation, going back to the in the beginning metaphor. It seems like the next natural step for our human evolution would be the replication of the process of creation from the individual point of view. Individuals, you and me, being able to see the field of creation that has always been there.
Yeah, that's quite a this topic on replicating the genome, all the gene therapy going on. It's an amazing topic, but it's also quite scary, because if we are understanding the matrix on how everything is created, my concern would be the consciousness of the people doing the experiments. My concern is when someone invents a free energy device or some amazing gadget, we're not interested in the gadget that they've built. We're more interested in, say, the consciousness of the inventor. I'm more interested in, well, is this person balanced? You know, like, sure, they may have built an amazing device, but I believe that the experiment is influenced by thoughts, by the consciousness of the person. Do they have a military consciousness? Are they trying to, do they have greed? Are they inventing this because they want to make money, or are they trying to help humanity? So when it comes to genetics and stem cells and people doing Frankenstein experiments, I'd be concerned about what their intention is, because somehow a person's consciousness is imbued in what they create. So I'd be cautious, yeah.
So when you work with kids, what kind of reactions do you get from kids as they start to grasp this material?
I work like in a school term. We have 4 school terms a year. They're about 9 weeks per school term. So the last school term I did, say, we got the children to create the 5 platonic solids with like imagine a big bundle of broomsticks, and you could join the broomsticks into connectors. So the kids could build giant, like, cubes and tetrahedrons that they could actually stand in. And I found that if a child, you know, had 30 broomsticks and they built the icosahedron, which has got 20 triangles, the first thing they want to do is sit and meditate inside the shape. They'll sit in there and just close their eyes. And these are children. You'd think children would probably want to roll it around or, you know, like a cubby house and play, but they just sit and meditate in there. And I've got lots of beautiful photos of that. And that surprised me. Though there could have been that their parents, when I teach, say, 5 to 10-year-olds, the parents are always with the children. So maybe the parents were like their alternative homeschooling parents. Maybe they were in front of the parents who meditate, so they sit and meditate so that the parents watching them or something. But I got some beautiful photos of it. So I always thought maybe they created sacred space and they just wanted to feel it. And they, yeah. So I believe that children learn best when they discover something. You don't build it for them. They get to build it. And then if they want to learn mathematics, so geometry comes first. And then if they want to learn, well, what's this angle and what's the height? If the edge length of the icosahedron is 1 unit, well, what's the height? Is it 1.6 or, you know, but then they want to start learning mathematics. So geometry or pattern is the first language. Yeah, and I just feel that's why I've gone from working with 5-year-old children. Now I'm working with autistic children because I believe they totally understand it. It's wired in us, these components of creation, all these platonic solids and mathematical proportions. We know it inherently in our DNA. So that's why it's a new curriculum, and that's why I'm doing all these worksheets on there. But what's happening now is that everything's going online. So I've gone from doing seminars, live seminars, now it's all, as you know, it's going to webinars. People just want to learn online now. So I'm having to go. So I'm having to do a lot of video clips now of all. So whatever I do now, if I'm in France, when I teach in France in July, everything I do now gets videoed so that we can compress it and make it available online, because that's what people want. I don't want to do that, but I'm still old school. I like to be in a hall with children or out in by the tree building these geometries. But I get a lot of letters from America, people saying, look, we live in a remote desert in Arizona. When are you going to do online curriculum? So I'm getting there. It just requires a lot of filming and uploading and support to do it. So I set up a new school now. I'm in Asia. I've set up a school, called the Joy of Numbers Institute, the Joy of Numbers Institute. So I'm hoping to get some funding from the Singapore government. They love what I'm doing there because they're very results orientated. Singapore, the children in Singapore, they come home from school and they keep studying. They have tutors. They go till night. And I'm sort of telling the parents there, for God's sake, let your children play. They've gone to the extreme where they're all trying to overachieve. My son's going to become a doctor, all that kind of stuff. But they're forgetting also that the children need to play. So even though I'm tutoring over there, I'm saying make sure the children are balanced, you know, and they get playtime. And yeah, so the next thing that's coming up for me is I got invited to teach in France at the Chartres. I'm part of a online community called Wisdom University. It's related to a Mary Magdalene temple called the Chartres Cathedral, the Notre Dame.
Right.
So there's people from, they're all from, mainly from America. So because it's very, like trying to build a school in Singapore is fine and we're getting some government support, but to own your own school, there's a lot of costs and overheads. So it looks like the smart way is to create an online school where anyone in the world can access. So this group called Ubiquity University Wisdom School are focused in the Chartres Cathedral, and there's a woman there called Caroline Miss.
Yeah.
So I'm working with Caroline in July. We're teaching the mathematics of the soul. So the concept is we teach our center is the Chartres Cathedral, but everything gets filmed. We make it all available, like you do with your talks. You archive everything. So we find that people from all over the world can form a school without having the physical cost of running a school. We do it all online. So it is a clever way. It's not my way, but I'm thinking, well, that's the way the world's going now. So I'm excited to say that I'm involved with another school, because I've been more like a lone wolf. I'm more like a hermit, a record keeper. I'm my own researcher. I've never most people I know, like most sacred geometry teachers in the world, like Djerumvalo, Melchizedek, and a lot of other teachers, they've probably had 70 different masters who've instructed ancient knowledge to them, you know, whether it's from South America or Chinese, Taoism. But me, every time I've tried to join a group or learn from a master, it's never happened. So my gift would be is that I'm self-taught or self-realized. I've never been influenced by other teachers. So I guess that makes it pure in a sense that you're just free thinking. I dropped out of university. I decided not to do medicine. I was going to follow a medical career, but I opted out of university and just decided to go travel the world and lived in remote places like Torres Strait Islands near New Guinea for 2 years. So I learned sacred geometry in a jungle, in a rainforest near New Guinea, and hang out with some medicine men. They couldn't even speak English. So I spent years where I didn't see white people and just lived in a jungle and watched, oh, look how a leaf falls. Look how the water makes patterns as it spirals down the cliff face. And so I just started seeing all these patterns. And so nature has been my teacher. So if I can get all this online, that's fantastic, because my prayer for the last 30 years is that I believe every child should learn sacred geometry. But little did I know 10, 20 years ago, if you're affirming this, how is your work going to go global? So obviously the internet was the key to make this prayer come true. So there's something special, obviously, about these online curriculums that everyone's wanting to create a global curriculum.
Well,
so
that's kind of...
Yeah, go on.
That's what's nice about this chapter of our human story, is that we're so interconnected. We can learn from people all over the world.
Exactly, yeah.
So when you, if you look at the Western mind, traditional mathematics, and you think NASA or traditional design, what kind of changes do you think will come out of sacred geometry and some of the new math?
Well, my first thought there is the bioarchitecture, is that our buildings should be reflecting the measurements of the human body. So Leonardo da Vinci had a mentor called Vitruvius. The most famous picture in the world besides the Mona Lisa is the star man, the Vitruvian man that's got four arms and four legs.
Right.
And that's based from his mentor. A thousand years before him, there was a dude called Vitruvius who said, you know, like your spine represents the column and your eyes, the eyes of the body should be the windows of the temple. So the word abode, the word body, or also meant abode, because the body, our human body, is also like a temple. So he had this amazing knowledge about how to build temples based on the human proportions. So that's what he...
Are you there? Hello? Sounds like we might have lost him. Looks like we're having some technical difficulties. We've lost Jane. You know, when you look at this paradigm of a soul discovering more and more authentic perspectives of the nature of nature, then you can see how there's so much to be discovered. There's so much realignment with the truth that we need. And it's going to be the people that see things fresh to look through virgin eyes, if you will, without imprinting of the past. It's a curious thing. When we think about the next chapters of our human story, those people that can understand what we're looking at as far as possibilities, when you look at your life story, when you look at your background, when you look at the history of who you are, what you learned in your youth, what you learned in your family dynamics, you take that and kind of peek under the covers or look behind it for a kind of a simpler explanation, a more fundamental perspective of what it meant. What was the lesson that it meant? And like, for example, I worked with high-powered television transmitters. When you think about the human part of our story, can
Hello.
You hear me?
I can.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, it's Jane. I can hear you.
All right. Well, we're back on the show. So, for us to rediscover such a fundamental aspect of how we think about the universe. We're talking about sacred geometry. We're talking about these fundamental number sequences that show up in all of nature. It seems like we're returning to where we've been before. What do you see when you look at other cultures of the past, like the Vedic, and as far as the human relationship with the truth?
Well, I went to India and ended up near Tibet in Ladakh. I went into the remote part of India called Ladakh. It's geographically Tibet. And I met the Dalai Lama's astrologer there. And I already had a great fascination with some magic square. So I had this encounter with an amazing astrologer there. And he told me, or he couldn't speak English, but his students translated. He said that every number has a soul, so that when we create a magic square of 3x3, it constitutes what they call a community of living souls. So in the Western mind, we see a magic square of 3x3 as just a random box of numbers. But in the East, they see that as like a community of living beings, like avatars. And so a magic square of 3x3 is a sacred glyph. It's something that has consciousness, that's alive. For just those who don't know what a magic square is, it's a bit like the Sudoku, where you have, if you take the numbers from 1 to 9, imagine you've got 9 playing cards. And I said to you, here's a 3x3 square, make the 3 columns add up to 15 and make the 3 rows add up to 15. And also in this puzzle, you've got to make the 2 diagonals all add up to 15. So they're all triplets of numbers. So there's only one chance in like 50,000 of making it all add up to the same. And so the top line would be 6, 1, 8. The middle line would be 7, 5, 3. And the bottom line would be 2, 9, 4. So it's like a cosmic phone number, like 618-753-294. But you could spend your whole life just studying those 9 numbers. Again, back to the number 9. So those 9 numbers, that magic square of 3x3, is so highly encoded with ancient knowledge. It's actually a window. It's a window into the cosmos. So, and the reason why I say that is because my whole journey started with 9 numbers. When I went to Lebanon, my father took me to Lebanon when I was 15, and we stayed in a place like the Rocky Mountains, a really high place. It's all snow. And I was in a hotel, and I was 15 years old, but a 10-year-old girl, I don't even know her name, but a 10-year-old girl was in the hotel, and she was playing card tricks on me, and she blew me out. And there was one card trick she wouldn't tell me the solution to. So she said, here's 9 cards, make them all add up to 15. And I couldn't. I didn't know. I tried and tried, and I didn't know how to do it. So by the time I went back to Australia, I'm just a schoolboy, I spent the next years trying to work out what's the solution to this magic square. In those days, we didn't have the internet. So we had the Britannica, the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Right,
so
yeah.
I thought, oh my God, these are magic squares from Tibet, China. But I found out that magic square of 3x3 was in every culture. So this is knowledge from thousands of years old, and it exists in every culture. And what I found out recently, that there's a man in London, like myself, about 20 years ago, he's teaching children like me, exactly like me, teaching children how to join a line from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. So you have these magic squares. And remember I said that the theme of my life's work is turning numbers into pictures. So how do you take this box of numbers that appears random, even though it's richly harmonically encoded, and you get this five-year-old to join a line from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, and they superimpose the pattern upon itself, and they get this magical mandala, which is like a crystal, and they can program these yantra, these power diagrams, to, you know, advance their consciousness, to manifest whatever they focus on. So, yeah, so this girl in Lebanon gave me these numbers, and it started off my whole journey. So I've spent my whole life studying those 9 numbers alone. And there's other magic squares, but I'm just letting people know that if you came to my house here and looked at all my files and research, it's all based on a humble magic square matrix of 9 numbers that fit into a 3x3 square. And I'm still discovering things about it. So my next step is to go to China. And the reason why I'm in Singapore now is that I want to teach all this mathematics of the Lo Shu, it's called, back to China, because China, the oldest mathematics on the planet is not India. In terms, like, India believes in the Vedas that all the knowledge was written on the rays of the sun and it's ancient. But in terms of physical books, China has the oldest known mathematics on the planet, and it's those 9 numbers. So a king was walking by the banks of a river and he found a tortoise by the river Lo, and he picked up the tortoise and it had all these dots on it, and the dots were 618 753 294. So we believe that this legend from 5,000 years ago in China was that the king received divine transmission of these cosmic numbers called the magic square, and they used it to build their temples and so there's a man in London now. They shut down his work, but he believes that when you build a UFO craft, to build a craft that has vertical takeoff abilities, like can fly vertically up in the air and travel, is that the secret was based on those 9 numbers of the magic square, where, okay, so it's going to be 6 parts of gold to 1 part silver to 8 parts titanium. So these numbers, these humble 9 numbers, 618 753 294, was a secret coding to link to the periodic table of elements to get the proportions right. Remember, we said that the word logos, we believe, is translated to divine proportion. So those numbers, 618, etc., was a hint how to get the proportions right, so that the frequencies of all these different elements of gold, silver, titanium were in a divine proportion. And that work got shut down. His name was Professor Searle, S-E-A-R-L, Searle. So my house is full of, like, every possible reference to magic squares, and it's huge. And it all started with this window of 9 numbers. So that's why I believe if I can create a curriculum where children turn numbers into mandalas and they go, wow, look, Mum, I just created this beautiful pattern that looks like a windmill or a solar panel, and they color it in, but that's where the excitement starts. So that's the secret, artistic mathematical coding, and that's a really big subject. So that's why I'm really excited about the art of number. So those 5 topics that I teach, magic squares, Fibonacci, Platonic solids, and Vedic maths, are the 4, but the crown, the 5th element, is what we just discussed. Don't get children to translate number into sacred symbol. And that's where it gets really rich and exciting. And so what I teach a 5-year-old is what I'm going to be teaching in France to adults. It's the same subjects, the same topics on magic squares and spirals. And,
you know, you can look at our past, and you can see such a rigid experience, if you will. The Western mind has such a regimented way of looking at things. So if we were to look at all the stars in the sky at night and then imagine visiting some of those cultures that have no connection to our past, I think we would see behavior and knowledge in them that wouldn't make any sense to our Western minds.
Well, that's interesting. That reminds me of a little story. My first awakening into sacred geometry was through a mathematical article. We have a magazine 25 years ago called Simply Living. It was kind of, you know, you could write about dolphins had 8 brains or, you know. So people were writing amazing articles in this thing called Simply Living. And one day there was an article about the Dogons. I don't know if you heard of a tribe in Africa called the Dogon in Mali, in the heart of Africa, in the very middle of Africa where there is no ocean, right? There's a tribe of people called the Dogon, D-O-G-O-N. And someone translated their language and they asked them, why are you having this big celebration? They were having a 50th anniversary of some amazing ceremony. So someone found out that they talked to the head chief and they said, oh, every 50 years we have they knew that the Sirius star system was a binary star system and that Sirius A went around Sirius B and it took 50 years cycle. So how did these people know in the heart, in the jungles, in the heart of Africa, how did these tribal people know of the 50-year cycle of a binary star system? And then they asked them about their god, and the god was called like Normal. And who's Normal? Or Normal is like a half dolphin, half human. Like, so they worshipped this entity, like a Jesus-like figure, that had a dolphin tail. But there's no dolphins in the heart of Africa. It was a Syrian. The dolphin mind, as you know, is connected more to the Syrian connection. And so I read this amazing article, and that was a trigger. So one article put me on a journey like, wow, this is fantastic. How can this be? And I started doing the research, and it never ended. It never stopped. So that's the power of a good article or, you know, we call it like a nugget or a gem. Like that was a gem of information, and that triggered my consciousness and it never stopped ever since. I always so I've done some murals. I've done some murals of this painting, like half woman, half dolphin. So, in fact, a lot of my artwork now, I'm also a muralist, by the way. I do a lot of painting, and a lot of my paintings are based on this Dogon mythology. Yeah, so that was, I don't know, you were asking about all these different cultures. So we've gone from Africa, Asia, Tibet, Lebanon.
That's good.
So it's in every culture. And so maybe sacred geometry. So I kind of believe that, you know, in 2000 years, what we speak in now, the English, French, German, whatever language we speak in is not universal. It's all going to get slanged and decay. But the thing that is timeless and that will never change is the language of mathematics. Mathematics is a universal language and it's fixed and it's eternal. So you know how these emojis, I just saw something on TV the other day, which I never really thought about, but you know, we the emoji symbols that people are using?
Right.
Remember when it started off as a smiley face and then they had a few more, like someone dancing or others. Now there's thousands of emojis. It's actually evolving into a universal language of these amazing emotions, you know, of someone's sad, someone's happy, surprise. Now you've got every animal possible and stars. And so this is, the emoji thing is huge right now. It's going to become a language of based on shape and patterns and pictures. It's very, because everyone in the universe can relate to this geometry or
picture. Well, we got about six minutes left.
Yeah,
can you share with our audience what books and DVDs and whatnot you have and how they can engage your material?
Okay, well, I have a Facebook following. I started two years ago. I was just about to shut down on Facebook. I didn't want to continue the social media, but my daughter said, no, Dad, there's a new thing called business. There's a business page where you can write serious things. So I started, so we set up a business page on Facebook called, that's Facebook's, then you just put Jane Mathemagic. So JaineMathemagics. So Jane Mathemagics on Facebook will give you hundreds and thousands of, so every day I write a post like, what's a dodecahedron? What's fractal? What's an icosahedron? So I write about these things, and for every post I put a picture. So in the last 2 years, we've got a following now of about 92,000 people, which has amazed me. That, you know, it tells me that in the mass consciousness, there's a growing demand for people wanting to know, well, what's this? What's all this sacred geometry about? And sacred geometry just means remembering who we are. Where did we come from? Originally, we were one cell, then the one became two, then the two became four. So when we were four cells, you join the four centers of the four cells, you get a pyramid, and then the four became eight, which became a cube. And so we were this language of shapes. So I write about this on Facebook. My main book, before we go, would be called The Art of Number. So if you typed in my name, Jane, then 108, and looked at a book called The Art of Number, all these celestial transcripts and codes that I'm excited about are in the one book. And as from tomorrow, I'm picking up 3,000 decals. Decals are things that you stick on your car window. They're adhesive transparency. They're a clear vinyl sticker. So I'm making them like 180 diameter circles, so medium-sized stickers. So, so on my website, if you look for decals and stickers, you can get these 12 essential transcripts that I'm excited about, the prime number cross, magic squares, Fibonacci, everything that I know that is sacred is now a picture. And you can get them on my website, www.janemathemagics.com. And if you look on the right-hand side of my homepage, you'll see decals and stickers. And so I've got an exciting range of 12 stickers and 12 decals. So there's 24 unique geometries that are very, I guess, psychoactive, which means when we look at them, when you put these up on your window, the sun will project these geometries into the space. So in feng shui, they would call that a space clearing device. And they're like crystals. They're beautiful, timeless patterns. So people can support me by looking at my website, going onto Facebook. And I'm sure, no doubt, we can always have another conversation, perhaps to a particular topic or theme, or we could do a lesson or something like that. If someone wanted to know more, I'm always happy to share knowledge. And I wanted to thank you for inviting me to have this conversation with you. I appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure. Time can go by pretty fast. I want to thank you for being our guest on the show tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We've been talking with Jane, and the topic tonight has been mathematics of the soul and the art of number. When you find that thread of juice, that thread of passion within your own persona, it comes from within. You're tapping into something that was intended for you to conduit through your being. When you think about inspiration, inside, inspiration comes from inside. And then you think about the collective consciousness or the condition of humanity on the planet, and that's this idea of being outside. And here you are in between. You have your inspiration within you, and then you have the physical world outside of you. And then you have this notion of life purpose. Your soul looked at the path your life could take and set an intention for you in this lifetime. And when you figure out what that is and then you honor it, you create flow. You create flow of expression. And when you think about your soul as being the portal between you and source consciousness or creation itself, you are the creator incarnate that's bringing into effect the inspiration from the divine consciousness within. And that can sound kind of pie in the sky-ish, but it's really not. We're having this human experience. There's millions and billions of prayers being said for peace on earth, for the end of insanity and suffering. And the collective consciousness is pregnant for change. People are so anxious for change. And every single one of us has a piece of the puzzle. Jane tonight shared with us how he's looking at the fundamental structure of creation, of nature, and he's seeing this innate intelligence that's inherent within it, and he's bring it into language, bring it into form, and that touches us. And when you honor why you're here, and our Western mind can be real critical. Well, all I want to do is paint. What the hell does painting have to do with divine path or whatever? It doesn't have to make logical sense. We don't have to abide to our Western critic in our minds. Our heart knows so much more than our brains know. When our heart gives you a thumbs up, that's all you need, period. No matter what else is happening in your life, be authentic, be true to yourself. When it feels right to you, that's it. It's done. It's approved. Don't look outside. Don't expect somebody outside of you to understand your life path. You know, I really love bringing shows like this tonight because we're waking up. We're waking up to a whole new paradigm in our human story. And when you understand the power of a paradigm, of a human individual, a life path, if you will, a single human being can be the change that the world's looking for. When you honor your divine potential without hesitation, you're fulfilling the divine idea of you. Well, it's been my pleasure spending this time with you tonight. I'm Les Jensen. Follow us on blogtalkradio.com/newhumanliving and go to New Human Living and sign up for the newsletter. It's been nice sharing this time with you. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast to bring your soul's inspiration into effect and live your life wide open. Check out our host, Les Jensen's latest book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
For a fun-filled Easter with friends and family, stop by your neighborhood Safeway. You'll find sweet deals throughout the store on everything you need to celebrate in style. For a delicious dinner, use your club card and get USDA Choice Beef Ribeye Roast, bone-in, just $5.67 a pound. Pick up Colorado-grown russet potatoes, 10-pound bags only 97 cents each. And get Pepsi, Coke, or LaCroix 12-packs, 4 for $9.88 when you buy four. Fresher choices, sweeter deals, happier gatherings. Safeway, it's just better.